In this episode, let's discuss the product variable and the role of a implementation consultant. So the product variable, which is s.products, is a conversion variable with a length of 2083 bytes because of Internet Explorer. Otherwise, it's unlimited. The syntax is s.products is equal to category, semicolon PID, semicolon quantity, semicolon price, semicolon incrementer, semicolon merchandising. So all these needs to be in the double quotes. And if we have multiple products, all these will be the same, but they'll be separated with a comma, right? So once again, so the s.products is equal to category, PID, quantity, price, incrementer, and merchandising separated by semicolons. Category is deprecated by Adobe. So the syntax would start with s.products is equal to semicolon, then PID, quantity, and all the remaining things. So even though category is deprecated, we still need to put the semicolon as a placeholder. PID is nothing but a product ID, which is used to identify the product. This can be anything, like it can be an alphanumerical value with a length of 100 bytes. Quantity is the quantity of the product that's added. Price is the total price. So the price of individual product times the quantity, right? So this does not include the tax and shipping. Whatever is sent as price will by default be sent into the revenue metrics. Then comes incrementer, which is of currency type event. So this includes the tax and shipping, right? Example, if event 5 is equal to 18, two different events for taxes and shipping respectively, right? So we need to have two different events for taxes and shipping. Then talking about events, there are three types of events: counter type, currency, and numeric events. And the final part of the s.product string is the merchandising evars. All evars have uppercase V. So when you say EVAR, so V is uppercase, except for merchandising evars, which has the lowercase v. So all of EVAR are small letters. For example, evar 35 is equal to deals of the day. And here, we don't need to use the s.evar. We can directly say evar 35 is equal to deals of the day. Now let's discuss out-of-box Adobe events for e-commerce. These include ProdView, SC add, SC open, SC view, SC remove, checkout, and purchase. ProdView event occurs when a product is viewed. SC add event occurs when the product is added to the cart. SC open fires only once per session whenever the first product is added to the cart. SC view occurs when the cart is viewed. SC remove occurs when product or products are removed from the cart. And checkout happens when the customers enter the first step of the checkout process. And purchase event happens after the purchase is completed. So after the completion of the final step of the checkout process, the purchase event gets triggered. Speaking of the final step of the checkout process, there are a few more events which occur on the purchase page, which is s.zip, which is a zip code, s.state, which is the state of the customer's address. Then there are s.transaction ID for offline storage and stock monitoring. And finally, there is s.purchase ID, which is a unique ID to a purchase. Serialization syntax is s.events is equal to, within double quotes, event n colon unique identifier and semicolon, right? Unique identifier could be purchase ID for e-commerce. Before we discuss the role of an implementation consultant, let's discuss the syntax for the s.tl call, right? Before we do s.tl call, we mention a few more variables, right? Like s.link track vars specifies the variables which we want to capture in the s.tl call. Then comes s.link track events, specifies the events which we want to capture in the s.tl call. And then we specify the events and props that we need to be capturing in the s.tl call, right? And then comes the actual s.tl call. And after the s.tl call, we have the s.manage vars, which is used to clear the variables so we don't carry forward their values in the successive calls. It is a predefined Adobe function. This is also known as a nullification of a variable. Now let's see the implementation or the consultant role. Step one is to study the website structure. Visit at least all the site sections and try to find out the sitemap, which takes 1 week of time, right? Step two is you need to check the analytics call, see what's actually getting captured. Step three is write the str, get the str, so the prop plus evar and events, get to know them. Like the sdr is a handy file to know all the variables and events that we have used. Step four is to get the report suite IDs. So what is the tracking server? First party CNAME, third party CNAME, AMCP cookie, and all these comes under step four. Step five, check if activity map is enabled or not. Step six is the visitor API integration done or not. Step seven, which are the Adobe Marketing Cloud tools being used? Step eight, how many team members are handling the Adobe Suite? Step nine is insight generation, which is a workspace, report builder, data warehouse, and a data feed. Step 10 is you should know what the organization is doing with the insights that we generate. Let's say we are going to launch a campaign or on some landing page, right? Few questions which we need to be asking before making any strategy is knowing who the target audience is, how long will the campaign run, which product campaign is going on, what are the goals for this, how many steps are available in the form, budget of the campaign, ask them if they can share the URL with us, ask them if they can share the wireframe or flowchart with us. Are there any exit link present on the form? Can somebody leave the form in between? That is, save and retrieve process is possible or not? Which country are you targeting? Which approach of tagging is used, legacy or TMS? What are the subdomains or main domains that are used for this campaign? Can we have the UAT URLs? Is this only for web, or do you need to target this for mobile application as well? Is there any partner integration? Tell us more about your marketing channels for analysis. And finally, what is the external campaign parameter? Now that we have the answers for our questions, let's discuss the approach that we will be taking to implement this campaign, right? We start with understanding the requirement. Then we set up the call with the stakeholders to identify what is their KPIs and KBRs, which is the key performance indicators and key business requirements. We will share our understanding of the flow in a mail to the client. Then we design documents, a tech spec documents for developers, which has each step, which says at each step what code or data layer is required to be passed. Then comes FRD, which is functional document. This is for project manager, which is a document in plain English, which has nothing to do with coding. And the third document is the BRD, which is the business requirement file, business requirement document. So this is to verify the requirements, to verify that we actually understand what the requirements are, which is like a visual flow. Then we share these documents with the respective teams. They will place the code that we have mentioned in the website. Then we configure the tags in TMS. Then we perform a validation campaign or any important variable based on basis of the tech spec that we are working for. Then we will reach out for the developers again with a mail if there's something wrong with it. If this does not, the issue does not resolve in two or more mails, then we'll directly go for a call. Once the fixes are done, then we retest and we do quality assessment and make a workspace report to check if everything is fine or not. And then we share the workspace link with the product manager, project manager, and the business, which is also mentioned in the FRD document. Then we publish this into production and make a workspace report. Then we grab some insights and share it with the group, right? So this is our job. Then there are three kinds of environments, right? So all the process of configuring tags, implementation, everything, except publishing it to the production, is common for all three environments. To see if everything is working or not, we do a spoofing. So in Insighten, it is Insighten Debugger Tools. In Tealium, it is a Tealium Web Companion. And in Adobe Launch, it's Adobe Experience Cloud Debugger. So the question will be how we will be doing the testing in the production environment itself. So we'll be using spoofing tools, right? Whenever a dimension which we need to identify as traffic and conversion activity, then that dimension should be captured both in props and evars. Some of the additional questions which we can ask to get more clarity about the client and the business are: what are the different environments used by the client? Point of contact to reach out when faced with challenges in the future. Is the visitor API integration completed on all the pages or any pages left to integrate? Is the website using edge code or app measurement code? What are the campaign parameters considered by the marketing team? What are the query string parameters after the user performs internal search? Any mobile implementation, domain, subdomain information, and do we have production publish access right? What is the page name strategy? Do we have any setup to define error pages? jQuery version used by the client? And see if the website is CCPA and GDPR compliant. When it comes to props to track the login status of the visitor, we request the developer to add the necessary value, as devs are the people who know the best thing about login status and how it is tracked. Legacy implementation is not preferred these days. It's better to use the data layer approach, which we'll be discussing in the future episodes.